Your SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is loading now. Today's SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, and online at PurdyInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hola, buenos dias, guten Abend.
Hello.
See, you're ready for Formula One right there.
Well, I don't think the audience is.
Probably not.
Our number 1-800-795-9565. Phillies crawling along. They did win dramatically yesterday after getting blasted Saturday 10-0. They won yesterday on back-to-back homers on the ninth, including Freddie Galvis hitting one out. So you have that. Something I was talking about earlier. Now, it's interesting when I'll talk to my class, and the first class that we have is, what's your favorite sport? Who's your favorite announcer? And if it is a class with a lot of Philly area kids, invariably I will hear, my favorite team is, I don't know, pick Eagles, Phillies, whatever, or Flyers. You have a lot of Flyers. Who's your favorite announcer? Nine times out of ten, it's Harry Callis. Okay. I was talking about this with, so one thing when you listen to the Pirates broadcast, they talk a lot about Bob Prince. And it's been 37 years since he's broadcast a game. And generationally, I mean, if you're 40 years old, you're married, you have kids, you're starting to think at this point, like, you know, am I saving enough for college? You don't even know who he is. Jason is calling. Hi, Jason. Welcome to the show. It's great to have you with us.
Hey, how you doing, Steve?
Good, man. How you doing?
Pretty good. Just thought I'd call back and let you know about my bucket list.
All right, let's hear your bucket list.
My bucket list is most definitely to sit up in that booth with you and Jack and just listen to story time of Steve and Jack between the breaks, commercial breaks.
Now that's entertaining. I'll say that.
Well, we have a couple.
But also, just down on the sideline taking pictures. I love doing photography. So, just you. And also, I like to interview Charlie Fisher. He graduated from my alma mater from Oyer Run.
Now, Charlie Fisher's, I'll tell you right now, he is not only an excellent coach, Charlie's a great guy. I know he's got his golf tournament coming up again.
Right.
But he has been a marvelous addition around here, and I just like his demeanor. I like his intelligence. He's a compassionate guy to be around. He's got a big heart. So, I mean, he has been somebody I think has been a real bright light in all of this.
Yeah. Yep. I know a couple of his family members from the Warren School District, and they're awesome.
I can see why, because being around him, there are very few people I like being around more than Charlie. I think he's a great guy.
Right. But, yeah, I got to work on getting those media credentials to be up in that booth with Jack.
Well, yeah, you would have to work, probably. We snuck Kevin in under the radar.
I saw him on the Big Ten channel.
Oh, that's right. He did make it in the back there. Kevin's kidding him, too.
Oh, yeah. I tell you what, the ESPN should the box. You won't see me. I just be in the shadow. I just enjoying your company.
Oh no! I was trying to get on TV. That was my.
That really was, Jason, one of the sadder moments I've ever seen.
That's the downfall of Penn State having him in that booth.
It was the rabbit ears I put behind Steve's head was what really got him upset, though.
I mean, did you notice that when he wasn't in the shot, Jason? That all of a sudden he'd take two steps and suddenly would be in the shot. You want to talk about somebody who's camera aware.
Yes. He didn't need a red light.
That's right. He did not need a red light. He seemed to know where the camera was better than Jack and I did.
But, no, I've been through the tunnel at Penn State and the Beaver State. I've been out in the field, so that is my bucket list right there has been cured for that. But up in the booth, the next thing I'm working on.
Well, appreciate that. Okay. So. That sounds fun. We'd love to have you. I know that we were talking today in a television meeting, and they want to do something about the tunnel experience for the players before they come out and see 100,000 people waiting for them and what that's like. That's one of the things we're talking about doing.
I couldn't imagine me a player walking out there and see 110,000. I'd probably get goosebumps, fall down to my knees and just go in awe.
And then you'd still have to play the game, Jason.
Exactly. No, I'd probably put some smelling salt under my nose.
There you go. That'd probably be the way to keep you in gear.
You got that right.
Well, that's a great bucket list. Sounds like there's a couple things maybe, who knows, maybe we can make some things happen for you.
Great.
All right.
Thanks, Steve.
Jason, thank you. It's always a pleasure. 800-795-9565 in the Hilster's General Store hotline. Dave in Sunbury's next. Hi, Dave. Welcome.
Hi, Steve. Well, let's start with it this way, Steve. Your pal there?
Mm-hmm.
He said, on the mark. Well, that's the second time you did that.
I did when I answered the phone. I forgot which place I was in today.
So this is the second time.
I'm going to put a sign in front of myself when I answer the phone. That way I'll do it right.
But, Steve, I got a bucket list for you.
Okay.
The gentleman who was just on, you're saying about where you run. So
yes.
You know where Turberville is.
Yes, I do.
Okay, well, every Memorial Sunday, the pastor does something special for the military. Well, okay. I think you'd enjoy this. You, Jack, Kevin, and his family, or whoever. But whoever wants to show up Sunday morning,
mm-hmm.
Sunday school is at 9:30, church at 10:30. But it's, I did last year up at the front of the church where you go to pray or whatever.
Mm-hmm. The altar.
Steps leading up to his pulpit, we had mm-hmm. our pictures, and I had Dad's military picture there.
Oh,
well, this
nice.
Year, the back of the church, where the table is for the communion and that, next to it will be a table with cover that Dad's picture there and his dog tags. And he was in the signal corps for Patton. He'd go on to him hanging wires and stuff.
You didn't think Pat would go in front of him, did you?
No, I knew better. Well, he might have with that pistol.
Yeah, yes, that's right. He had the ivory handle pistols.
But I was just saying, he does that every year, but he changes it, not the same, It's this general same thing, but different ways of doing it that people can bring their pictures in of their loved ones. And I just found my dad's dog tags.
Wow.
So,
and that's in Turbidville.
Yeah, at Bethel Baptist Church.
Okay.
He said,
here in the State College area, we have Bowlesburg.
Yeah.
And Bowlesburg is considered to be the unofficial birthplace of Memorial Day, where three women went to decorate graves in 1863 during the war. And they have a big, big day in Bowlesburg here, which is just to the east of State College.
Well, I was going to tell you, I was born on a holiday that nobody celebrates anymore. June 14th.
Arbor Day?
No, June 14th.
That's Flag Day, which
Flag
is the
Day,
same.
1954.
Yep, my cousin Annette was born on Flag Day as well.
Oh. As I said, there was another one like me on the same day, twin brother Dan.
Okay. Well, yes, I would assume that would
that
be,
makes
yes,
sense.
That would happen unless it was like an 1159, 1201 birth, yes.
No. But you know that when I told you that for? You know how you and Kevin rub off on each other?
Yeah.
That's the same deal with twin brother. He bought me that the new blue-white, up in Muncie. Because we don't have a new stand down here that supplies it anymore.
Okay.
Down in Sunbury. So he stopped Saturday and handed it to me. Man, I had about 5 hours of solid reading.
There you go.
Just, and those young men that are even considering joining the university is outstanding. Listen,
well,
I'll
I think
hang
the
up
way,
and listen
yeah.
and see what you guys got to say. And thanks
yeah,
for...
the way I...
Go ahead.
Oh, okay, yeah. The way I understand it, Dave, is that when it comes to recruiting, I know Penn State's limited to 15 guys, but that doesn't necessarily mean there's 15 openings. My understanding is they will have 15 scholarships to give out. They actually will have that total. But, you know, when you talk about the sanctions with Penn State, extremely disingenuous as to how they've talked about it's a four-year probation and so forth. This isn't a four-year probation. This is six altogether, and it leans in it, and there's still a domino effect of a seventh. And here's the reason why. And the reason is this. Number one, you didn't have a bowl game you could go to this year, nor could you play in postseason play. So that was taken away. This year, same story. Next year, you'll have that in combination with 65 scholarships. The year after, you have 65 scholarships, no bowl. Okay, so now you're up to 2015. In 2016, you can go to a bowl game, you can play for the Big Ten Championship and so forth, but you're at 65 scholarships. In 2017, you have 65 scholarships, and we can go to a bowl game. Okay. Okay, so now we're at six. Now you're saying, how about a seventh? Well, you cannot accelerate the process from 65 to 85 scholarships. You just can't. It's mathematical impossibility because you're going to have players graduate. You notice I didn't say leave. I mean, the Penn State culture is you graduate players. And you just can't. I mean, even if, for example, you have 12 graduate, just say that number is. Well, you're at 53. What are you going to? You're not allowed to have more than 25. You can't come up with 32 scholarships. You can't do it. It's illegal. So you're still going to be operating under the 85 limit when you get to 2018, even though you're allowed to get to 85 scholarships. So, I mean, this is a long, drawn-out process they have put Penn State through, a long, drawn-out process that I, you know, whether it's going to be reconsidered or not, I have no idea. I'm going into all this with the idea it can't be. In other words, surprise me and tell me it is. But I mentally have prepared myself that it's going to go all the way through.
Yeah. Well, like I said, my youngest brother, Bob, I had a debate with him because we were arguing over the sanctions. I said what you said about the amount of years. He says it's too less. And when you get to a conversation like that, I just say, well, I just shut up, let it go. And when we get past the two-year window you were talking about, then you'll come down to my way of thinking. Okay?
Well, I mean, first of all, Bob can't dispute this because these are all facts. Okay? It's a fact. It's a fact they couldn't go to a bowl game last year. It's a fact they can't go to a bowl game this year. It's a fact that you have 65 scholarships and no bowl game next year. It's a fact you have 65 scholarships and no bowl game in 2016. It's a fact that you can go to a bowl game and have 65 scholarships in 16. It's a fact that you have 65 scholarships and a bowl game in 17. Then it's finally over with, but you can't just go right back to 85. Okay, we're back at 85. You can't get there. It's impossible to get there. So it really does then warp into a seventh year. So you tell Bob to give me a call. We'll straighten it all out within about 60 seconds.
Well, I got two other things. There's two schools, one in the Big Ten and one in the SEC last year that gave over 25 scholarships.
Yeah, but what they do is that then they find four and they get rid of all. It's like the over-recruiting.
Yeah. Threw that wide receiver under the bus.
Talk to you later, exactly.
Dave. Thanks for the conversation.
Thanks, Dave. Thank you, too, Dave. Our number 800-795-9565. We can talk about the sanctions. We can also talk about your bucket list, which Jason wanted to talk about as well. And that's the Hilster's General Store hotline. Hilster's General Store, the 21st century style general store located 7 miles south of Sealands Grove and Routes 11 and 15. Sponsors are our hotline. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout. With so many great deals in bloom, you'll be thinking spring. Like a 2012 Ford Fiesta 5-door hatchback SE. Call for our lowest price promise. 888-536-8017. 2012 Hyundai Veloster 3-door coupe with black interior. $16,889. 2012 Kia Sorento 4-wheel drive LX, $16,999. It's one tough truck. A 2010 Ford F-150 Super Crew, just $25,998. And a 2010 Jeep Wrangler Unlimited 4-door Sahara, $26,994. All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout. 24/7 at sunburymotors.com, at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Even when they grow up, your kids can still surprise you. My son calls to tell me he bought his first new car. Picked the make, model, and dealer all by himself. And negotiated his own deal. But when it came to insuring his new ride, he wanted Dad's advice. I told him one word. Selective. They've always done right by me. It's nice to know you're still needed.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at prettyinsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
Welcome back. Pretty Insurance is our sponsor, as they are every Monday. And on behalf of our great friends at Pretty Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, we want to make sure you're well aware of June 5th, Wednesday, June 5th. Just 2 weeks coming up before the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament takes place at the Greater Susquehanna Valley Country Club. Jump in, help out wherever you can. There were two openings available for the afternoon flight. There are multiple availabilities for the morning flight. We'll be in the morning flight, by the way, as will the Ducks Unlimited and SBCA people who will be following Kevin around.
I told you I hit a squirrel. I never hit a duck.
You almost hit me.
You're a little bit bigger than a squirrel. I might have hit a couple of fish, but you don't know.
You almost hit me.
What lesson did you learn?
Well, I got to stand 50 yards back when you hit.
There you go.
Unbelievable.
You know, some kids have to learn lessons the hard way.
Yeah, I know. We're still taking you anyway. All right. Boy, I make you mad.
Just once, I'm going to catch you. I figured out how to do it. I was thinking about this over the weekend. So you don't have a chance to get one of your little quick responses back. I'm going to wait until right before the program ends. Then I'm going to throw one in there, and then you can't respond for 24 hours.
It probably wouldn't mean anything to me. All right.
It would to me, and that's all that counts.
Our number 800-795-9565. What's on your bucket list? We've been talking about that today. I've also talked a little bit about the sanctions. Tried to somehow exhaust Kevin out of IndyCar. Vince Welsh joins us on Wednesday, by the way.
You've done pretty well, I have to admit. You gave me an hour, or almost an hour. It's fun.
I gave you 45 minutes.
Felt like an hour. I was happy.
Then finally, I broke at that point and started talking about the Phillies and their come-from-behind win yesterday.
Yeah, but you didn't talk about their injuries.
No, and they've got plenty of them. I also talked about the Penguins. I felt coaching lost the game for them last night. When you get a power play at the end of a game like that, you go on the attack with the thing. You don't need to take shots because shots can lead potentially to a turnover. But the way you – when you have guys that move the puck the way the Penguins move the puck on their power play, Crosby, Malkin, Dupuis – if you want to put Neil in there, if you want to take, you know, if you want to be a little more cautious and like put maybe Morrow back on in defense to join Letang, okay, and have two legitimate defensemen out there instead of having a forward at the point, okay, instead of putting a Ginla out there, all right, fine. But they're such a sharp passing team. They could have put that puck in the zone, and you know, and Anderson can't leave the net. You know, you put them on their heels and make them play defense instead of, well, we'll just kind of, we got the extra guy, whatever. And it led to a shorthanded goal.
You know, I missed.
Because they were able to pull the goaltender, Anderson. They were able to get a fifth skater out there. So now they're skating 5-on-5.
That's what I was going to ask you, because I missed what happened that they got that shorthanded goal. I was trying to figure out how it happened, and they never showed a replay when I tuned in last night. So I'm glad you told me that.
It was lackadaisical. He got behind the defense. Alfredson, Daniel Alfredson, who's one of the real greats. I mean, he's a great player. He's 40 years old. He's meant everything to that franchise up there. And he scored the tying goal in the waning seconds, and then they went to the second overtime where they finally won it. I would not make a move. By the way, we're going to have Josh Yowie on tomorrow from the Pittsburgh Tribune to talk about all this. But I think that's just a coaching move. I think you've got to put pressure on them to bottle them up instead of like playing, hey, look, we'll play not to lose. We'll play, but hey, sorry, you can't do that.
All right, we're not going to have enough time to get into it in this segment, but I've got a question for you leading into the next one, and that has to do with the overtime rules in the playoffs.
What? First team that scores wins.
I know. Why not go to the shootout there?
No.
Wait, this comes from a man who loves scoring and thinks that every sport needs to have a ton of scoring, and you're trying to tell me that a shootout is not exciting.
No. This is the Stanley Cup playoffs, okay? You play till you score.
One man, one goalie, one puck. That's exciting.
No, it's this. At this point, the point is not to have a gimmick, okay? The point is to... It's a playoff game. It's a playoff game. All right? Gimmicks don't win playoff games.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. You want a shootout for the Stanley Cup?
Absolutely. You can't tell me. Listen, mister, there's got to be scoring for people to be interested. What is going to be more interesting, watching two teams play two overtimes and not score and then go to another one, or going to a shootout and then going to another shootout if it still remains tied? Shootouts are exciting. You can't deny shootouts are not exciting.
Well, okay, so in other words, why don't we select three hitters after nine innings in Game 7 of the World Series?
I'm not saying you have to do it after the first one. You play an overtime period. I'm okay with the overtime period. I think, you know, but once that overtime period is done, then decide a winner. I mean, let's decide it. Let's not go another 20 minutes, 15 minutes, or, you know, however long this round of the overtime is going to be. Why don't sit there and drag it out anymore? Let's make it. I mean, this has already been an exciting tie game. You've gone an entire period without anybody scoring. Now it's time to decide it.
Okay, so let's go to the 13th inning and have home run derby. You know, we've completed one overtime of the Super Bowl.
Right.
Let's bring the kickers out and do a kickoff of field goals.
No, that's where I think, I'm sorry, I do not like the professional football overtime rule. I know you and I have discussed this many times. I love the college setup.
No.
I know you don't like it, but as a fan, I absolutely love it.
It's not football. It's not a game anymore. You've taken special teams out. You don't punt.
I agree. I agree with that part of it.
Okay. The overtime rule in college football is to shorten the game. And I have no problem with how they do the college overtime. But when a championship is on the line, you cannot settle a championship that way. You can't do it.
Now, I like the way the NFL's done it the last couple of years better, but I still like the college high school style better. I would like to see college move it back further, really. I still think it's too close because I think sometimes it's with the way kickers are right now and as solid as college kickers can be in Division I, I think it's almost a gimme sometimes if you get a first down.
Kevin, I have broadcast the longest BCS game ever.
Yes, you have. Okay?
And it only went three.
But it was exciting. I was riveted.
I understand that. I understand that too. It doesn't, but it still doesn't mean it's. You know, when, first of all, that's a BCS game. That wasn't the BCS championship game.
Right.
Okay. Texas and USC played the BCS championship game in the Rose Bowl that year.
Right.
And the idea of college overtime, I have no problem, especially in the regular season or in a minor bowl game. That's how you determine it. You know, but. I don't think it's done to shorten the game. So you're not sitting there all night in a regular season game. I know Ole Miss one night went seven overtimes with Eli Manning at quarterback. I can't remember who they were playing, but Ole Miss played in the game. It may have been LSU. And that went seven overtimes. That's why they put the 2-point conversion.
I love that
caveat in. That was put in after a couple of years.
Yep. I love that rule.
After the second one, you had to go for two. But
I'll give you this. With your baseball comparison, I don't like it in baseball. Now, why don't I like it in baseball? Maybe that's the traditionalist in me. But
what do you think the Stanley Cup playoff tradition
is? I understand.
The Stanley Cup playoff
I'm saying.
Day one.
And I get your debate about it.
What they've done in the regular season is that's where the tradition broke. The tradition used to be in the regular season. You played, it ended in a tie. Each team got a point, and everybody went home. So they decided, well, we don't want ties anymore. So they put the 5-minute sudden death overtime in. And they were finding that they weren't getting enough games not ending in ties. So then what they did was if you don't win it in sudden death overtime where one team gets 2 points, the other one gets none, you go through, each team's guaranteed a point, then you get an extra point for winning the shootout.
That makes no sense to me, but I get it.
That's why they did it. Okay. When it comes to the tradition, though, of the Stanley Cup playoffs, this has been the tradition forever. And hockey overtime is the most exciting overtime that there is in sports. It's more exciting and more dramatic than baseball, where, for example, if you hit a home run in the top half of the 10th inning, I can still come back in the bottom half of the 10th and maybe have a chance to win it, okay? Super Bowl, usually, except for running the kickoff back, it takes, a little bit before you can, it doesn't dramatically happen just like that. Basketball's 5 minutes. In hockey, a shot ends it. That shot could be 10 seconds in or it could be two overtimes in. But every time a shot is taken, the potential for the game to end is on the stick. And that's why it makes it exciting and dramatic. Okay,
I'll give you that part of it. I have to admit, every time there was a rush, you thought that could be the end of the game. I do get that.
And hockey overtime to me is the best overtime of all.
But when it went into the
exciting overtime.
But when it went into the second overtime, it's already close to midnight in the East. You're dealing with two teams in the Eastern time zone anyway. It's time to find a way to end it. One overtime is fine with me, but the second overtime, it's like, oh, we're going to do this again? I mean. Then you find a way to end it. I use this analogy with you during the break. Sunday morning, I was watching, I have no idea what it was, but it was the U.S. and Finland for a bronze medal in hockey. They went in overtime. It was scoreless in overtime. They went to three penalty shots. It was 1-1 after the three penalty shots. They went to it again, and the first one to score wins. That was a great way to end it. You got the overtime in, but you found a way to end it, and it didn't drag on for another, what felt like, 3 hours, even though it was only another half
hour. After one overtime in the NBA, let's have a slam dunk contest.
There's no defense of a slam dunk contest, though.
After three extra innings, let's do home run derby.
Again, you got to throw in some defense there. I've got the solution.
A penalty shot is a gimmick. You don't settle championships on gimmicks.
All right.
Okay. Having a slam dunk contest would be a gimmick. Having a home run derby would be a gimmick. Okay. That's a gimmick to have games end in a win or a loss in the regular season. It's a gimmick. You don't gimmick with championships on the line. You play it traditionally all the way through.
All right. You want to do crazy scenarios? Here's one for you in baseball. You get to the 14th inning. You put a runner on second base with one out.
Oh, brother.
Yeah, you want to do crazy? I can do crazy scenarios, too.
But I'm the one saying play it out. You're the one coming up with nuts.
It's not something, but it's what happens in the regular season. Why do you change it? This was the other way
Stanley
around.
Stanley Cup, it's the other way
I
around.
I understand
the
they changed
Cup
the regular season.
Stanley Cup has always been decided like this. One night on Easter, I watched the Penguins and Capitals play four overtimes before Peter Nedved won it. I watched the whole thing. Peter Nedved won in the fourth overtime.
What time was it? 3 a.m?
It's like 2 a.m. when it ended. Easter morning.
I'm just saying, I'm not a big fan of changing the rules, no matter which way it is, whether you change it for the regular season or the postseason.
But that's
changing
not
the
a
rules.
Change,
at the,
but that
I know
is
that.
Not a change
you
in the rules.
You missed my point. My point is the rules shouldn't change either way. It should be the same rule in the regular season as in the playoffs. Why should
I
you
understand.
Have a different set of rules?
Okay, baseball and the NBA both, okay, have that.
Right.
Pro football finally has gone to that.
Yes.
Okay, which I didn't like the fact they did it to me. You had 60 minutes. They score the first time through, hey, tough, you lose.
Although there's still a chance that you could go through the overtime 15 minutes of the playoffs and then have to play another 15, which technically is different than the regular season rules.
Right, exactly. It is, as we've seen before. Okay, but it's a game, okay, and it's a playoff game. And you have to have, there have to be legitimate, there's a legitimacy to the playoffs that's a little bit different than one of being 82 games. Okay? An 82-game regular season, I mean, look, they're trying to come up with winners and losers. It used to be just a tie. Well, they'd be getting too many ties in the NHL.
Oh, boy, that's
so that's why they went with a five-minute overtime. And then follow it up with a shootout, okay? That's why they do it, so you walk out with a winner and a loser. In the Stanley Cup playoffs, which has been the tradition and has always been different than the regular season anyway, games end in ties in the regular season back 20 years ago. In the postseason, they don't.
That's like St. Louis and San Francisco in the NFL. I mean, you play all that time. Both those games almost ended in ties.
Right. Both of them did. Right.
I mean, you play five quarters of football. Somebody deserves to win at that point.
But the game ended in a tie. The postseason doesn't end in a tie. They go to a sixth quarter.
Has that ever happened, by the way? I don't know that it has.
Sure it has.
Where they've gone a sixth... Where,
Christmas Day, 1971. Miami Dolphins,
I don't remember
Kansas City Chiefs. Christmas Day, 1971, Kansas City Chiefs against the Miami Dolphins. Gary Yeprimian won it with a 37-yard field goal on a day where Ed Podolak had over 300 yards in total offense. 1962 AFL Championship game, Tommy Brooker kicked a 25-yard field goal. The Dallas Texans beat the Houston Oilers to win the AFL Championship. That was in the sixth quarter.
Jeez, it's like doing a program with the Encyclopedia Britannica.
What?
That's a compliment, by the way. Backward as it might have sounded. How do you remember that?
Well, it's part of history. Oof. I mean, history is the greatest teacher that we have in life. It teaches you what works and what doesn't work. There's no reinvention of the wheel in life. I mean, there may be subtle changes to ideas, but there are rarely today new ideas. Just aren't.
I'd forgotten about that AFC divisional game, the longest game.
Yeah. I mean, you know, those are, you know, I mean, those are some of the ones that you look back on. So
yeah, it's happened four times.
I think so. I think it's been four times. Yeah. We've gone to the sixth quarter.
Let's see. Oh, here it is. Four times. The Dolphins, Chiefs, in 71. The first one was the Dallas Texans and Houston Oilers that went 2 minutes and 54 seconds in.
Yeah, Tommy Brooker kicked a 25-yard field goal.
Then the one in 71. In 77, the Raiders beat the Colts 37-31.
Dave Casper touchdown catch.
43 seconds into the second overtime.
Dave Casper touchdown catch from Kenny Stabler.
And I had completely forgotten about this one in 87. The Browns and the Jets, 2 minutes and 2 seconds into the second overtime.
Yeah. So. Yeah. So those are some of the famous. Those are the games that extended into a sixth quarter. So. And you're mad at me again.
I told you, it's like doing a program with the Encyclopedia Britannica. Who needs Google? I just use stevejones.com.
Oh, brother.
No need for brother. Google here.
Yeah, I know. I've heard that at Channel 3 before when they're talking about some Penn State football history thing. And I'll go, yeah, it's this. They said, we're not even going to bother looking it up. I said, well, look it up in case I'm wrong.
No. I'm waiting for the day for that to happen, but it has not at this moment. I just find overtimes as exciting. Like I said, one overtime was fine. When it got into the second overtime, it was just like, oh, somebody just finally it's over. Thank you.
Yeah, but you know, that's the first one that's gone beyond one overtime in the entire playoff year.
That's true.
That's the first time it's happened the entire playoff year. But that's how the Stanley Cup traditionally has been determined. So,
I mean, soccer goes to penalty kicks. That's entertaining, too. And I'm not a soccer fan, but that made me watch.
Nothing happens for 90 minutes, please.
It's a lot of running, though.
I'm not running.
Every time I played it in gym class, I was the goalie, so I didn't have to run.
See, you're smart. That's good.
Who wants to be the goalie? That's me. I'm here.
No, I'm not big on college football overtime as to how it's done. I know why it's done. It's done for time reasons. You know, they want to get, you know, they want to have it competitive but done as quickly as possible without extending the game beyond
its natural
certain time frame. Yeah. And that's why it's done.
I just think it needs to move back about 5 or 10 yards. I think they're starting it too far up. Now, high school, I think, if I remember right, and I haven't done an overtime game in a while, it's like the 10.
But that defeats the purpose of it. You're trying to get scores. I mean, that you're trying to get points put on the board. That's why they put it at the 25-yard line. You're trying to get that.
Yeah, I think high school's at the 10 so that there's no first down possibility.
Right. So. But that's what it, you know, the reason why it's, especially the regular season, economy of time. On the NBA, there's no difference between what they do.
Right.
And baseball, there's no difference either.
By the way,
if you want them to do a shootout in the Stanley Cup, well, gee whiz, let's do a home run derby in the World Series. That'd be great. I pick Pujols, Hamilton, and one other guy. Let's go to it.
Yeah, but you need somebody. Then you need to have somebody up on the wall trying to catch the ball before it goes out. You have to have some sort of defense available there.
Yeah, it's called the pitcher.
You know, you forgot to, after the break, you got to give us your bucket list. You have to have
bucket list.
There has to be something still on your list.
Okay.
I'll give you the break to think about it.
Yeah, sure. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Looking forward to the Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament June 5th at the Greater Susquehanna Valley Country Club to benefit the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. Bonnie Wasper and her group do a great job on behalf of children up and down the valley. Please join us to help benefit them. As we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. My bucket list, I would like to play a round at the Greater Susquehanna Valley Country Club without possibly getting killed.
Sorry, I'm not sure I can help you with that.
That's it. Well, you know, if you put me in a different foursome, yeah.
You're still alive. Quit whining.
Okay. Why don't we sit down with Roger and let's talk to him about how he feels about...
You're still alive.
Bucket list. Actually, part of it I should have had last year, but didn't. I wanted to go down to... Jack Ham and I, along with two other friends, were supposed to go to the Masters last year.
I remember that.
And then, and there was a plane. There was a plane problem, and that's why we couldn't go. So that's still on the list of things I would like to do. I've been to Lambeau Field. I've been to Fenway. The whole thing. I mean, I've done all that stuff. I've done the Rose Bowl, Madison Square Garden. You know, Rupp Arena. You know, U.S. Open. I've covered. I'm covering it again this year. I mean, I've done all that stuff. I would love to play a round of golf at St. Andrews.
I played one links course that ended the desire to play at St. Andrews again because I don't think I could embarrass myself more than I did on that course.
Oh, no. I played links golf. I love links golf.
I do too, but I did not play it well.
It's fun. No, it's fun. I played Highland Golf Links in Truro, Cape Cod, right on the Atlantic. Oh, my goodness. Loved it. I would love to play around at St. Andrews. Love to play around at Pebble Beach. Now you can do that. Dave Baker and I actually seriously considered plunking down 250. This is back in the 90s.
Yeah, I was going to say, when was that?
$250 going over to play Pebble Beach. We talked about it. We're like, well, how do you want to do it? Instead, we just drove down there. So we drove down to Pebble Beach. So I've been there. Then we went over to Monterey on the Monterey Peninsula, and we had dinner at this place with a pier that went out into the Pacific. And I remember sitting there with my back to the Pacific, watching the waves crash in front of me. I thought, this is kind of cool.
And you saved money, too.
yeah, but you know what? Looking back, I wish we'd pulled out the clubs and gone. Dave and I both like to play golf, you know, and he's fun to play golf with because he doesn't try to kill you.
You know, other than the Indy things, the being able to get to the race once and ride on the track, I want to call an Olympic event.
Oh, okay.
That's the only other thing on my list.
That's fine. I mean, obviously, I'd like to announce a Final Four in a BCS championship game, but I've done two BCS bowl games in my life and a Rose Bowl, which is huge, an NIT championship game. NCAA tournament games. You know, I've done 5 championship games in basketball in my career.
NCAA state championship will be okay too.
Yeah, that'd be fun for you. That'd be a lot of fun. Shikalimi in the state title game. It'd be great. It'd be great for the area.
Now that would be a fun Tim Ford interview.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, for me anyway.
Sure. I like Tim. For some reason, that's not what came to my mind as to what would be the big thrill of it.
Probably right.
No offense, Tim.